Well, if everybody will turn to Joshua 14, we'll get going. Several people asked me if I wore this to work today. No, I didn't. I actually put this on tonight because after Audie on Sunday said you wear a dark suit, a white shirt, and the colors of the team of your basketball team. So I have blue and gray. Here you go. They are actually playing right now. And I hope they are doing better than Villanova did today. Anyway, who's we? You're going. Wow, great. Well, have a great time. That's awesome. Where did I say? Joshua 14. Okay, our topic tonight is retirement planning. I am standing in for Gary, who is out of town on business. I think that's part of his retirement plan, to make money. We will talk about making money tonight, or earning or money, the money aspects, but that's not all I want to talk about. I also want us to think, first and foremost, about the spiritual aspects of retirement planning. In fact, my title tonight, stolen from Paul Simon, is Still Godly After All These Years. And I will sing, no. So we're going to start by looking at a familiar story, the retirement plan of one of the great heroes of the faith. Joshua 14. Yes, it would be helpful to be in the right book, not Judges 14. Joshua 14, verse 6. The descendants of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of, I don't know, said to him, "You know the Lord promised Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the Lord's servant, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to scout the land, and I brought back an honest report. My brothers went with me, caused the people's heart to melt with fear. But I remain loyal to the Lord my God. On that day, Moses promised me the land where you have set your foot will be your inheritance for you and your descendants forever, because you have remained loyal to the Lord your God. As you see, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years, as he promised, since the Lord spoke his word to Moses while Israel was journeying in the wilderness. Here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was the day Moses set out. My strength for battle and daily tasks is now as it was then. Now give me this hill country the Lord promised me on that day, because you heard then that the Anakim are there, as well as large fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord promised." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of something, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Therefore, Hebron has belonged to Caleb as an inheritance to this day, because he remained loyal to the Lord, the God of Israel. Hebron's name, well, we don't need that part. Okay, now here's a serious retirement plan for you. At 85 years old, Caleb plans to lead the fighting men of Judah and conquer the hill country from the Anakim. Large fortified cities. Conquering large fortified cities. That's his retirement plan. You know, he reminds Joshua what happened back 45 years before, when he was 40 years old, when the Israelites first came out of Egypt, came to the promised land. He, Caleb, and Joshua were two of the 12 spies. They went in and they came back and they gave an honest report. They said, "We can do this." But the other 10 spies did not. They were faithless. And as he said here, they poisoned the faith of the entire nation. And they didn't go in. Caleb was promised an inheritance by God. Where he saw, where he walked as a spy. That was his inheritance. That was his retirement. But he had to wait 45 years. Because of the faithlessness of others. He had to wait 45 years. But it didn't make him bitter. He's still faithful. And even now, 45 years later, there's still the Anakim and the fortified cities to conquer. You know, it wasn't like God just said, "Here it is." He still has to conquer it. But that didn't discourage him either. He's ready to go. He's ready to go. He's still faithful. He's still godly after all these years. Amen. And then it says he enjoyed the land. Oh, I didn't read the very last verse. It says, after this, the land had rest from war, or peace. So he went in, he conquered. God gave him his inheritance. He had to fight for it, but God gave it to him. And then in the final years of his life, he was able to enjoy peace. Now that sounds to me like a great retirement plan. Amen. To remain true to God. Don't become bitter, even if things don't go exactly according to plan, even if it's other people's fault. Even if there are obstacles, remain loyal to God. God's promises will come true, and even if you have to fight for them, they're going to come true, even at 85 years old. Okay, turn to Luke chapter 12. You all okay out there?
Yeah.
Not worried about the Hoyas, are you? Okay. You know, if the Hoyas win and the Tennessee wins, we play each other on Saturday. There you go. Okay. The main thing we need for retirement planning is a spiritual outlook like Caleb had. We don't want to fall prey to worldly thinking when we start thinking about retirement. We must be still godly after all those years. I want to look at three pitfalls of retirement planning, thinking, to avoid. Three things that Satan tries to do to trip us up and to get us to start thinking down the wrong road. And then after we do that, we'll look at the end, we'll go through some scriptures, some practical guidance for successful and spiritual retirement planning. So that's the plan for retirement planning class. Okay, Luke 12, we see another retirement plan different from Caleb's here in Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13. Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." "Friend," he said to him, "who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?" He said to him, "Watch out and be on your guard against all greed, because one's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions." He told them a parable. A man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, "What should I do since I don't have anywhere to store my crops? I will do this," he said. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store my goods. Then I'll say to myself, 'Self, or you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" That's how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The first pitfall Jesus identifies right here, greed. Greed. That's what he says to watch out for. That's why he tells this parable. He's reacting to someone who wants his brother to share his inheritance with him, focusing on comfort and ease in retirement. You know, that's what most of the world does.
Yep.
Or at least, I shouldn't say most of the world. I should say most of the Western world. I'm not sure most of the world can do retirement the way we think of it.
Right.
But here in America, in the West, this is how most of us think about retirement, like the man in the parable. We're going to store up as much as we can, and then we're going to take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, we view retirement as kind of one big long vacation. You know, maybe we'll buy an RV and travel around. Maybe we'll get a beach house or a cabin in the mountains. You know, it's just the idea that I'm just going to relax. I've earned it. I worked hard. I saved up. And now retirement is for me to just relax and enjoy myself. Take it easy. I mean, that's what the world, how the world thinks of it. But Jesus says here, no. You know, Jesus says here, you or God, "You fool." That's not the way to think about life.
Right.
Life doesn't consist in how much you can accumulate so that you can take it easy. That's not how you should think about life. That's foolish, he says. And Jesus says, that's greed. That's greed. And we should watch out for greed. And I think if the first century audience listening to Jesus needed to watch out for greed, those of us sitting here in America in the 21st century need to watch out for greed. It's all around us. You turn on the TV or on the radio, and it's coming at you all the time. Walk through the store, the mall, you know, at work. That's what people focus on in our society. You know, it's in the air we breathe. You know, we're often blind to it. It's hard to see because it's so pervasive in our society. It's hard to see. It's hard to resist. It's difficult to be rid of it. It's so easy to let greed slip in and sort of take over. Take over our thinking. Take over our lives. Especially when we start thinking about retirement. But that's what the parable warns against. We don't retire from being disciples. And we don't retire from saying no to sin.
Nope.
We don't retire from resisting greed, from resisting materialism. As it says at the end here, we can't store up treasure for ourselves and not be rich towards God. That's not a good place to end up.
Amen.
Not a good place. Amen? Amen? So that's the first pitfall to avoid. Second pitfall about retirement is worry. We'll keep reading in verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn, yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Can any of you add a cubit to his height by worrying? If then you're not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest?" The world, when it's not trying to get you to be greedy about your retirement, wants you to worry about your retirement.
Wow.
Oh no, I won't have enough money. I'm going to run out of money. I'm going to get old and not be able to work anymore, and I'm not going to have enough to get through. I'm going to live too long. Oh, what a problem. The world wants you to worry about it. You know, and with the Great Recession, that fear is greater than ever. And why does the world want us to worry? The world wants you to buy their retirement products, right? Rely on Prudential and The Rock, or Travelers and the Umbrella, or New York Life's little gift package. Yeah, that's what the world wants you to do. All those commercials have been more and more in the Great Recession because they're like, you need security, you need security. And some of those things might be wise investments. We'll talk about that later. But that's not my source of security.
Nope.
You know, 2008, we learned that lesson if we had a retirement account because it went down.
Yeah.
And it could happen again. That's not where our security lies. We can't take our security from that kind of stuff. I don't want to be fooled putting my security in that sort of thing. You know, worrying about money, you know, doesn't get you anywhere. Okay, verse 27. Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass, which is in the field today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he do for you, you of little faith? Don't keep striving for what you should eat and what you should drink. Don't be anxious, for the Gentile world eagerly seeks all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. You know, instead of worrying, we put our faith in God. That's where our security is. God is my rock, not Prudential.
Yep. Amen.
And Prudential's my biggest client. That's a lot of income for me. But that's not my rock.
Amen.
My rock, my security is God. We've got to trust Him and not be afraid about what might happen. You know, to know God loves us. He knows our needs. It says it right here. He knows what we need. He created us. He knows we need to eat and wear clothes, and especially when it's cold and all that stuff. He knows all that stuff, a roof over our heads. He knows we need that kind of thing. He'll take care of us. He takes care of birds. He takes care of flowers.
Yeah.
I think He'll take care of us.
Yeah, right.
We're much more valuable than them. You know, he says here, you know, don't be anxious. That's what the world runs after. You know, in heaven, there are no recessions.
Nope.
Wow.
There are no market downturns.
Nope.
You know, there's no financial meltdowns.
Wow.
The street is paved with gold.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, it's the foundations are made out of precious stones. They use pearls for gates. Okay.
Yeah.
So, we you know, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have these worries.
Yeah, right.
Everything's
right.
Going to be okay.
Yep.
Psalm 37, verse 25. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down. David said, "I was young, and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous abandoned or their children begging bread."
Amen.
Never. Never seen that. God will take care of us. We can trust Him to do that. We don't have to worry. Verse 30, or 31. "But seek His kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make bunny bags for yourselves that won't grow old, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We know this passage, especially from Matthew, very well. Seek first God's kingdom.
That's right.
But that it applies to thinking about retirement. It applies to thinking about what we're talking about here. You know, keeping our priorities straight. You know, still godly after all those years.
Amen.
Not to get sucked into greed. Not to get sucked into worry and fear. But to trust God. And to keep God and His kingdom central to our lives.
Amen.
Central to our focus. Central to what we are living about. You know, when I retire, I don't want to make decisions solely for worldly reasons. You know, Barbara and I, Barbara was talking with a friend at Jazzercise last week who was telling her about retired friends who moved to Florida. And then they regretted it because they didn't have any friends. They left all their friends back where they used to live. And now they can't sell their house. They've been wanting to leave, but they can't. I don't want to move somewhere to retire. Oh, it seems so wonderful, the beach or the mountain. And I don't know anybody there. I don't have any relationships. Even more for disciples. You know, I want to still be plugged into the church. I still want to be serving the church and helping the church. You know, how can I serve? And that's how we need to be thinking about retirement. How can I continue to invest advance His kingdom? You know, He might have a Hebron for me to conquer at age 85. You know, there might be something like that He has in mind. Or just people to encourage. A church, as we're older, that could use our wisdom, use our help. Use our leadership and our example, where we already have relationships. Barbara and I talk about maybe finding a place to retire where we can retire with some of you guys, and we can all move there together.
Amen.
You know, and maybe it will be the beach. You know, but we'll all go there where there's a church that we can build up.
Amen.
Or start maybe.
Amen.
You know, so that's how we got to think about retirement. What are God's priorities? I mean, we can still enjoy it. I'm not saying we can't enjoy retirement or have fun. I'm just saying, you know, it's got to be a spiritual focus.
Amen.
We're not just retiring from God to go do some fun stuff. Okay, so second pitfall is worry. First pitfall was greed, and the third pitfall is, turn to Proverbs 21. Oh, somebody groaned out there. The third pitfall is neglect. We avoid thinking about retirement. We didn't really want to come to this class tonight. Oh, no, don't make me think about that. We're barely getting by now. We don't want to think about, you know, making plans for the future. Unfortunately, the Bible calls this too foolishness. Proverbs 20. Did I say 20 or 21? Boy, I'm in the wrong place. Oh, no, it is 21. 21, verse 20. That's why I got confused. Precious treasure or stores of oil are in the house of the wise, but a foolish man consumes all that he has or devours all that he has. Okay, so it says a wise person, in the house of the wise, there are stores. There are reserves. There are savings in a wise man's house. But a fool devours everything. A fool just consumes, you know, lives, uses up everything that he earns. That's what it says. Being spiritual about retirement doesn't mean we neglect wisdom. It doesn't mean we don't think smart about it. It doesn't think we don't make plans. We're not wise. You know, it says here, the wise have stores. How are we doing on this area? Do we have stores? Do we have reserves? Do we have a 401k or a Roth IRA? You know, almost every employer provides some of these things for you, or you can just go out and get one. You know, are we saving towards that day? Now, we don't put our security there. Our security is in God. And we don't want to be consumed by greed. And the goal is not so, you know, I can eat, drink, and be merry and take it easy. But it's wise to do that.
Right.
It's wise to have that plan. Mm-hmm. Now, we want to seek first His kingdom and all that stuff. But the verse here says a fool devours all he has. A fool is the one who uses everything up and doesn't have any reserves and gets to the end and doesn't have anything. That's what a fool does. Now, I know some of us are going through hard times, unemployment, health issues. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about those of us who are gainfully employed and doing okay. Do we have a plan? You know, are we setting some aside for later in life? You know, Proverbs 6 and verse 8 says, even ants store provisions.
Yeah.
And it gives ants as an example for not being a sluggard.
Right.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Are you smarter than an ant? You know, we've got to be smarter than an ant. We've got to stop being foolish and learn to be wise.
Amen.
Still in chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless or hasty only becomes poor. Okay? So we need to be diligent. We need a plan. We need a retirement plan. We need to have, you know, some goals and be working towards them. You can't wait to the end and be hasty about it. You know, I'm 64. I'm going to be retired. I guess I need to start. No. That's way too late. You know, that's reckless. That you only become poor if you do that. And again, I'm not trying to scare. We talked about we're trusting God, but I'm just saying we got to be wise.
Yeah.
We got to take the advice of the Bible about making plans, about having some reserves. You know, 1 Timothy 5:16 says the church should not be burdened supporting older widows if their family can take care of them.
Right.
Let not the church be burdened. Heard that growing up. We should have plans to avoid becoming that older widow. Or putting our wives in that situation.
Yep.
You know, we should have a plan so that we won't burden the church when we're old, that we can take care of ourselves. And here in America, most of us ought to be able to do that, you know, if we live wisely. And that's a responsibility we have. And it's same with our children, not to be a burden on them. If we can plan and be wise and not, and rather than consume everything we have and get to the end and say, who's going to take care of me now? You know, we should be doing that, to be kind to other people.
Amen.
You know, to take into account other people's needs, that they shouldn't have to take care of us.
Amen.
And those of us in this room, maybe some of us already have a retirement plan, and amen, we need to be helping other people do that.
Yeah.
You know, helping the younger people, like Alan talked about 2 weeks ago in the discipling economy. You know, there's a bunch of younger people in the rest of the building here, and they need our wisdom. The earlier you start, the better off you'll be. So we need to help them too, because you know, it's when you're young and you're having kids, and you know, it's easy, strollers and playpens and you know all that. It's easy to just forget about it and not think about it. But the sooner we can help them get started, the better off they'll be too. Okay, so what are some elements of good and godly retirement planning? What are some good biblical principles you should follow? Okay, we're going to avoid the pitfalls. What are some good things to do? Turn to Luke. Chapter 6. You doing okay out there?
Yes.
The Hoyas should be wrapping it up pretty soon. One way or the other. Anybody have internet access? No. Okay. Seek first His kingdom.
Amen.
First, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible when talking about money is Luke 6, verse 38.
Right.
Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Right.
Okay, first principle of retirement planning is to give.
Amen.
Give to God. Be generous. Give to the needy. That's the first principle of retirement planning, I think, or any financial planning for a spiritual person, is to give. And it says here, what will happen if you do that? It'll be given to you.
That's right.
You can't outgive God. Amen. Whatever measure you use, if you give generously, guess what? God will give generously to you. That's what it says.
Amen.
Pouring over into your lap. If you give sort of stingy, you say, no, I need to make provisions for myself first, and then maybe I'll give later. Well, it says here, that's the measure you'll be given to.
Yeah.
You won't be given a whole lot. You know, giving is the key to financial blessings.
Right.
You know, if we're struggling financially and we're not giving, well, guess what? That's probably the reason why we're struggling financially, because we're not taking advantage of this promise.
Right.
Malachi 3:10 says, you know, or God dares us to put Him to the test.
Right.
He says, bring the full tithe and see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven.
Right.
I mean, that's God's daring us. You know, give to me and see what happens. So, you know, giving to God, that's central to any financial plan. And, you know, if we need to make that change, you know, decide tonight. I need to start giving. You know, be wise. give in accordance with your income, but start giving to God.
That's right.
And He's going to bless you. I've seen that happen over and over again in my life. That I can't outgive God. Even when sometimes it seems like I shouldn't have given that much, but God blesses me.
Amen.
God
right.
blesses me.
That's right.
Wow. Romans 13. Right. It's in here somewhere. Verse 8, 13:8. Yeah, we could start in 6. But let's not. 8. Do not owe anyone anything.
Wow.
Or I think in the NIV it says, let no debt remain outstanding.
That's right.
Except to love one another. For one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. Don't owe anyone anything? Is that what it said? Whoa! Well, how do we do that? It means we got to get out of debt.
Amen.
We got to get out of debt. Another good principle to getting ready for retirement is you got to get out of debt.
Amen.
You owe a lot of money when you're retired, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You got to get out of debt. You got to pay off. Let no debt remain outstanding. That means the outstanding balance should be
zero.
We got to do that. We got to attack the debt. And get rid of it. You know, take Financial Peace University.
Yeah.
Our facilitator is right here.
Right.
Dressed in green. He's a day late. But but I guess green is good for financial planning, eh? But we've got to get out of debt. We've got to get serious about it. You know, people can help you. Other people here can help you. We can help you get out of debt, but you've got to do it. And when you get out of debt, that money you were paying on debt, hey, you can start putting that in the old 401k.
Amen.
And start saving for retirement. You know what? So often I think we think of, you know, people who are trying to collect money from us, like bill collectors, we think of them as evil, right? They're out to get us, those bill collectors. They're faking those phone calls. They're obnoxious. They might be lawyers, you know. But you know, the Bible says it the other way around. Psalm 37:21. That's the same psalm I quoted before by David. If we borrow money and don't repay, it says we are evil. The wicked borrow and do not repay. Psalm 37:21. The bill collectors are just trying to get the money that you borrowed from somebody else, you know, on a credit card or whatever it was. So, you know, they might be obnoxious and they might be evil too. I don't know. But the Bible says if we borrow and don't pay it back, that makes us evil.
It's true.
But we got to pay back. We got to get rid of those debts.
Amen.
You know, and if you can get rid of all your debt except your mortgage, well, then start paying extra on your mortgage. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. Getting rid of my mortgage sooner so that I can, as the Bible says, not owe anyone anything. No debt remained outstanding, not even my mortgage is my goal so that when I get to retirement, no mortgage, no debt. Some reserves,
amen.
You know, it'll work out.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 12. We're going to spend the rest of the time in Proverbs. So give generously, get out of debt. I showed this verse to my son the other day. I was applying it to homework. Proverbs 12, verse 11. The one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies lacks sense. Okay? So we have to work the land. Okay? Back then they were mostly farmers, so that's what they did. They worked the land. Well, not many of us are farmers, but we have to work the jobs we have. We have to use whatever resources we have to make money.
Right.
You know, we might have a lot or we might have a little, but we have to use it to earn a living to make money. The one who works his land. We have to be diligent.
Amen.
You know, we can't be lazy. You know, the Proverbs are full of warnings against being lazy,
right.
Being a sluggard, you know, a little folding of the hands to rest. No, I just need to take it easy. You know, no, we've got to work.
Right.
We've got to work. And if we do that, it says here, we'll have plenty of food. You know, if we're diligent, we work, maybe we, get a better job because we're a good worker. Or we, whatever we need to do. Then it says, don't chase fantasies.
Right.
Don't chase the get-rich-quick scheme. That email you got about how much, no, that's a scam. Don't listen to that email. Don't send money. Don't give them your credit card or your Social Security number, especially if it's from a foreign country. I get this all the time, So-and-so in Hong Kong needs your help. But they send it to me as a lawyer. They need you to be their lawyer, And I'm like, no. People needed me to be their lawyer. There are normal channels. They would connect me, we don't chase fantasies. Get advice before you invest. Get advice before you make big financial decisions. Be wise about it. Don't chase fantasies. Don't be foolish. Don't do crazy things that will mess up your financial situation. Okay, so Proverbs 5. I don't think I've ever heard this one taught in a retirement planning or any financial planning class before, but you're going to get it here tonight.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 5, so buckle your seatbelt. Chapter 5, verse 7. So now, my sons and daughters, listen to me, and don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Don't go near the door of her house. Otherwise, you will give up your vitality to others, your years to someone cruel. Strangers will drain your resources, and your earnings will end up in a foreigner's house. At the end of your life, you will lament when your physical body has been consumed. You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart despised correction. I didn't obey my teachers or listen closely to my mentors. I was on the verge of complete ruin before the entire community. This may sound strange in a financial class, but don't commit adultery. Don't do it. Don't make big, stupid mistakes like that. It messes us up financially. I know the people who will drain your resources. Lawyers. Divorce lawyers. And if you're a man, you pay both lawyers, okay? You pay hers and yours. This is not where we want to go. Now, I know there's a lot of solid disciples in the room, and there's no real danger of this, but, sometimes we're tempted. We think, man, it seems like I want that's available out there. But it'll mess you up financially.
Come on, Steve.
Alimony is not a good financial plan.
No.
Supporting two households with one income, that's really bad. If you think supporting one household with two incomes is tough, try supporting two with one. It doesn't work very good. People who remain married have a better retirement than people whose marriages fall on the rocks.
Amen.
So that's an important thing, and that's what he's talking about here. There's a lot of other warnings of adultery surrounding this, but here he's talking about the financial consequences.
Yeah.
Financial consequences. Yeah. So that's one thing. I think one of Gary's rules of life, don't do anything stupid.
Amen.
Okay, and that's what we're talking about here. Don't do anything really stupid that will mess things up. Verse 15 and following, I'm not going to read out loud, but it talks about loving your wife. Okay, it talks about loving your wife, loving your husband, build up your marriage.
Right.
A good marriage is a good financial plan.
Amen.
Where you're on the same page.
Right.
Where you have the same goals.
Yes.
Where you're agreeing on your budget. You're agreeing on what you want to do and what you do and don't want to spend. That's a good marriage.
That's right.
is a good retirement plan.
Amen.
It'll help you get there. So we want to build up our marriages. Godliness pays off in this arena. Godliness pays off. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13:11. Can I read that?
NIV.
I don't like the home in there. 13:11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Now, we all know stealing's not a good retirement plan,
right,
or fraud, or deceit, or cheating on your taxes, or any of those things. That's what it says right here. Dishonest money is going to dwindle. That'll just fade away. Even they even show that, this isn't dishonest, but people who win the lottery, they show a study, a lot of those folks screw up royally because they're not really prepared. They end up in bankruptcy and, you know, squandered all away. You see that even from people like, you know, athletes and rock stars who get a lot of money. It messes up their lives. So that's not necessarily what we want. But it says here, if you gather money little by little, it will grow. Now that's a great retirement plan. Gather money little by little. Set aside even a little bit on a regular basis. Now, all financial planners will tell you that. It's called the power of compound interest. You put a little bit away and it earns some money. It grows over time. I wish I could have done a chart and a PowerPoint to show you. But, you know, it grows and grows and grows. But that's what you got to do. You got to start setting it aside. And you got to keep setting it aside. The problem is so often maybe we start and then we stop. We've got to be consistent. Just gather money little by little over time. And then we can't dip into the till.
Right.
Okay? If you've got a retirement account, retirement savings, you can't dip into the till.
No.
You can't say, well, no, I need a new car, so I'm going to dip into my retirement plan. Or the down payment on the new house I want, so I'm going to dip into my retirement savings. No, no, no. Just keep that money over there. That money's for later in life. Use the rest of the money for now in life. Okay? You got to leave it alone. Even if it, you know, seems like a good deal, I'm going to start a new business and make a lot of money. And maybe not. You know, so you want to keep the retirement savings sacred. Don't dip into them. And the tax code actually penalizes if you do. So you break that 401k or that IRA and you're going to get adverse tax consequences. So save that money away, and then, you know, if you can, I know it's probably kind of late for many of us in this category, but if you can, you should be doing the same thing for college if you're going to help your kids go to college. It's trying to put that money away. Save that money up. I've got one already in college. Actually, the brochure from Georgia came home today, a little brochure thing, and we opened it up, and there's Art in a photo on page 2 eating food at the dining hall. It was great. I wanted to bring it tonight. Anyway, you know, some companies will match your retirement. You know, if you put 3% in the 401k, they'll match it. I don't know if there are any companies like that left, but if you have a company like that, that's free money.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything to get that money except put your money aside and they'll match it. So, you know, I had that once upon a time back when I worked at Prudential, and I took advantage of that. I don't get it today, but anyway, that's what we need to do. Leave the money alone, keep setting it aside, and it will grow.
Right.
It will grow. Okay, well, we're about done. We got one more verse, Proverbs chapter 31. What's the goal? What's the goal of a good retirement plan? If we're godly, if we resist greed, we say no to worry and trust God. We are diligent, wise, we make good plans, we save. We put into practice some of the spiritual principles we've been talking about tonight. We give, we work, we save. What's the result? Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She can laugh at the days to come.
Wow.
The Proverbs 31 woman does all that. If you read the whole chapter, she does everything we've talked about.
That's right.
She works hard. She plans. She plans for, you know, clothes for her kids for the winter and all that. She plans. She makes wise investments. Her husband trusts her. That probably means she's not spending all his money. You know, he trusts her. They're united in what they're doing. You know, all the things we've been talking about. She trusts God. And so what? She can laugh at the future. Laugh at the future. She is confident. The future does not have any fear for her because she knows she's wise and she's making the right plans and she knows she's put her trust in God and he's taking care of her. And so that's our goal. We want to be where we can laugh at the future. Amen? Let's close out with a prayer. Dear God, we are grateful, Father, that we live in America. Grateful that you have given us prosperity compared to so many people. Father, we just appreciate that. We're grateful, too, that you called us into your kingdom, and that we can have people to help us to be wise. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be wise in this area.
Right.
Father, to really put into practice the things that your word says, to avoid the things your word warns us about, Father, and we can then trust you and we can laugh at the future. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Good job.